What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What's happening?
Well, I have, before we get started, an eyewitness account of a potential cluster F on the Mass Pike this morning. I saw there's a truck that is stuck on the Alston-Brighton U-turn on the Massachusetts Turnpike. So just a heads up, if you know where you can flip, you can go down the pike and then turn around and go the other way back into Boston, and somehow somebody who was driving a truck didn't realize that that is not a move that an 18-wheeler ought to take. So, but I will say that the state police were out there. So if I could say on behalf of all of Massachusetts, thank you for your attention to this matter. Mm. We certainly appreciate that, Curtis.
Many thanks.
Were the other three cars still there, too? When I was coming, there were three cars that were kind of in the U-turn as well. Like the truck was at the end and then three cars.
I was focused on the road ahead.
Okay. That's smart.
I didn't have time to be a looky-loo.
Sammy Sightseer?
I do not know. But anyway, just if your commute involves that area, then certainly be careful. What did we get up to yesterday, Curtis? Well over 100, right? 102, 103 or something like that?
From my untrained eye, hottest day ever in Boston in my life.
Wow.
I literally tried to get exercise, and I just, like, melted. And then I walked, which is maybe a mile from my house to J.P. Licks on West Broadway, with James, and walking home, I just was like, I had to stop. I felt like a 200-year-old man. It was just like all-encompassing heat. There was no air. There was no wind. There was no anything. It was brutal yesterday.
Little bit of relief today. Am I correct about that?
Okay. Going to be much about 20 degrees cooler.
All right. Well, Celtics have made another move, and it appeared to be final last night around 6 o'clock or whenever it was. And so Kristaps Porzingis is gone.
Yep.
And fan favorite, never forget what the guy did for us when it came to Banner 18, and and certainly that very impressive game one of the NBA Finals from Kristaps Porzingis. But seems like, Curtis, financially the Celtics have gotten themselves to where they want it to be when it comes to the tax portion of the apron, correct?
Yep. They have cashed out, and well, Wick cashed out, and now the new owner is making the team more cash friendly.
All right. So do we think that's it, or potentially another shoe to drop by tonight, which is the NBA draft?
I don't know. I mean, there are all kinds of whispers about Jaylen Brown and who would be available if you decided to part with Jaylen Brown. And whether that is Wiggy, whether that is Giannis, or I saw a ridiculous suggestion yesterday that you trade Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal.
Oh my God!
Not good with that.
Which I would not do if I were Brad Stevens. But
they're going to be trying to trade him between now and the draft.
You think so?
Of course.
Well, there are a lot of questions about what they're going to do with their draft picks, because they're expected to move on with one or two, or their two, to involve those two picks for tonight with another trade. So
okay.
If that but I think tonight's the deadline, obviously. Brown, if he makes it through tonight.
Well, not necessarily. It depends on if they're like putting a package together that involves draft picks.
But that's what experts, people in the know, have said that they've been trying to do. So if that doesn't happen tonight, then I will sleep much better this evening.
What do you give Brad Stevens when it comes to a grade if he had to make these moves, which I think he did? What do you give him on dumping the salary and what he got back?
Well, as far as what he gets back, he gets what? Niang?
Yeah, George's Niang.
All right.
Local guy.
Yep. Local guy. You know, he's a scrappy player.
I like his game.
Yeah, he's a scrappy player. And you get the kid back from Portland. So, I don't know. Isn't next year, and there are a few things out there, and I know people don't want it, but there are a few things out there. It looks like you're unloading all. And so if you bring Jaylen Brown back, aren't you a middle-of-the-road team? Playoff team?
Yes.
And you don't never want to be there.
You mean without Jason Tatum?
Yeah, because you're not going to have Tatum next year.
I mean, but you were going to, weren't you going to be a middle of the road team anyway without Jason Tatum?
But if you brought everybody back, I'm saying, if you kept Porzingis, if you kept Jrue Holiday, maybe you're a third seed.
You couldn't count at least last season on Porzingis.
About George's Zane? that's what Wiggy's saying, Craig. They're better with Porzingis than this guy.
Wiggy will also, in this case, not add the S to George. He will call him George throughout the season.
You know,
but
Niang.
Yeah, I mean, I think you had to go if you were the Bill Chisholm and Wick Rosbeck and whoever else.
Yeah, and Cliff Kingsbury.
And Cliff Kingsbury. You had to go into the season not expecting much without Jason Tatum.
So, yeah, I'm going full tank mode. I'm going full tank mode.
Amen.
I'm trying to get lottery pick and then – you know, that's my mode. I'm going full tank mode trying to get lottery pick because I don't want to be a sixth seed or a fifth seed and then you get bounced in the first round and now it's just like you're in no man's land when Tatum comes back.
And I think that Brad Stevens agrees with Wiggy. I mean, I think that according to all the reports that Jaylen Brown is being shopped around. And
yeah.
That doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's, I would say at best, you know, 20-30% chance today. But clearly the organization – at least is in part in agreement with Wiggy about that.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I just don't know what you're going to get. What could you get for him, Curtis, that would make sense?
You would get a lot worse this year so that you could get better faster.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're not going to give him up for a bag of donuts like you did Rafi Devers and everybody got mad about that. Like Brad Stevens isn't going to trade Jaylen Brown for nothing and then tank. So what would we get back for Jaylen Brown right now?
Are you talking Canes or like just store bought?
Store bought.
If you're trading Jaylen Brown, you're getting an all-star caliber player.
So who is it right now?
Well, I don't know if the Giannis is out there, it's potentially that, but you'd have to give up more than just Jaylen Brown to get Giannis, right? You'd have to give up maybe Jaylen Brown and Derek White.
Derek White.
George's Zhang.
Yeah, and George's Zhang. But if you're going with draft picks, then you probably can get players from San Antonio and their number two overall pick for Jaylen Brown, if that's where, unless I said fantasy land.
That's never happening.
Nico Harris, you never know.
You are not getting Cooper Flagg out of this week.
You never
I'm
know.
Sorry, you're not.
I never thought Luka would have been traded.
Well, if we're going to continue the Kurtspiracy, you gave the Mavs the number one pick, and then you got Chisholm to go over $7 billion or whatever the record-setting deal with the Celtics is, and then you get the Nico Harris to trade Cooper Flagg to his hometown.
So you promised Bill Chisholm that he would end up with Cooper Flagg out of all this.
Correct.
He just had to pay an extra billion for the Celtics.
Right. It was like the Petito note you had to burn after reading.
All right, maybe. I don't know. I feel like when it comes to Brad Stevens, getting them to take Porzingis and to assume, they have to assume that salary, correct? I can't figure out the way it works on the match thing, but
yeah, I don't know.
That's strategic that's a sell job by Brad Stevens.
Right.
He gets an A on that from me.
And I think the bigger question is, because Courtney, you keep saying no on Jaylen Brown, and I agree with you to a certain extent, but if you're Jaylen Brown, aren't you fed up? This is another year where your name is being shopped around being potentially traded again. People are not, you know, when I'm talking about the basketball experts, the Shams and all those guys, they're not coming out here and saying, oh, there are a bunch of teams inquiring about Jaylen Brown if the Celtics are not picking up the phone and at least listening to. So if you're Jaylen, you're going to be like, damn, what the hell's going on, man? It seems like since you drafted me, you've been trying to trade.
Last year, Brad Stevens spoke out about that, and Wick talked to us about that. The fact that Jaylen Brown's name is always brought up during it, and it's actually a compliment to him because he's such a great player. Now, I get what you're saying.
I'm talking from his point of view.
Because he made it clear, I believe, last year there were some sideways tweets about while this was all going on. Jaylen Brown certainly feels a certain type of way about that. But all we've heard about Jaylen Brown is that he wants to be the number one guy. Well, here's your season on a silver platter. Show that you can be a number one guy. guy.
But he's still not the number one.
And this is the team saying they don't think he is.
Right.
He would be the number one this season with Jason Tatum on the bench.
He'd be the temporary number one.
Okay, but so what? Prove that you can do it. If you've got an ego,
Courtney, the guy's been in the NBA. He's an all NBA caliber player.
Yeah, I know. He's my guy.
But do you think he wants to go out there and be like, oh, prove that you can do this now that he...
I think if I'm Jaylen Brown, this is a perfect opportunity to prove to everybody that I can be the number one guy. Also, moving forward, I know I can play with Jason Tatum. Mm. So does Jason Tatum want to come back after an injury like this to a completely different team where he doesn't know how he's going to play with everybody? And does Jaylen Brown want to move on and try to figure it out with another team as well?
He also may be looking forward to having the opportunity to be on the court with George's Wang.
I'm going to love this guy all year.
I think we should give George's Niang some credit, too, because, yes, I agree with you, Curtis, that Kristaps numbers-wise way better, but Kristaps needs to be on the floor to actually get those numbers. It's also interesting because Kristaps is younger than George's Niang, so that's a weird...
I mean, is there any alcohol around? Can we drink anytime somebody says George's Niang on the show this morning? Please, drink.
I hope he has a great season.
He's a solid player. Like, you've seen him in Cleveland.
But he's 32.
He's getting up there. Long in the tooth.
Celtics just quit on the season. And we're like, what about George's Yang?
He's not going to be he'll help out the team. But your team, the direction that your team needs to go in, I think, and if I'm Jaylen Brown, I'm like, trade me. I want out because you've been doing this to me.
Is this something that he whispered to you over a hookah like last time?
But who wants
who is that douche who said it was yellow journalism?
What somebody said that when Wiggy said that there was yellow journalism?
I don't even know what yellow journalism means.
We had a whole segment on it.
Is it one of the print guys or
I'm a journalist.
I thought yellow journalism was like, yo, you better be black if you're saying that because you calling me light skinned.
I don't think it has anything to do with it.
Because that's what you say. You a little red bone, you yellow. Okay, you know, you're calling me light skinned. No, it's not getting bad. I'm just telling you what it is, Courtney. In the world of melanin, we are considered light skinned, bright. Chris Brown got to bring us back because Drake kind of killed us.
I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But if you're Jaylen, you have to be. Yeah. Ticked off.
Well, like Drake said, she wasn't there when he was in the gym shooting hoops. All right, is that the line? Am I close to it?
Yeah, you're close.
Okay, close to it. All right, good. All right, well, a lot to get to. Red Sox are now finding a way to lose in extra innings, Curtis. 3-2 the final last night, and you waste another crochet gem.
Oink, oink.
Can you win the Cy Young and be on one of the worst teams in baseball?
That's a great question.
Has somebody ever done that?
What do you have, 10 strikeouts last night?
Yeah, he should be.
Like seven.
Oink, oink.
Seven shutout innings. And then the bullpen, as they want to do, come in and blow the game. So, what a waste of a talent it is going to be if that's the way it goes with Garrett Crochet all season long.
Yesterday reminded me of there was a game in the early 90s where Matt Young, Red Sox pitcher, threw a no-hitter and the Red Sox lost the game. It's just they suck. I don't know what they're going to do, but I can once again kiss a death. Four straight losses since he said the season had been turned around on Saturday.
Well, Courtney will have more on that coming up in a moment or two during trending, and then we will get to our leads at 6:25 or thereabouts, around 10 minutes from now. They said it coming up at 7, and we'll go over what they said yesterday, including what Bill Simmons said about the official passing of the Boston Celtics, of the at least the 2024 Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
So that is coming up. News with Courtney at 7:45. Oh! There appears to be somewhat of a dramatic turn of events in the Cold War between this show and the Greasy Pole Hardos.
Mm.
And we will address that at some point this morning, Shine. Interesting developments as we get closer to getting on the road and heading to the North Shore and Gloucester and the Beauport Hotel on Friday. So we'll get to that. We will play your Hill Notes back at 9:20 this morning. So you can leave one of those at any time on the Odyssey app. And to get us started this morning, here is Courtney with everything that is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox dropped their first with the Angels out west. 3-2 was your final in extra innings. Despite the loss, Garrett Crochet had another great start, going 7 innings, giving up 0 runs on 3 hits while striking out 10. Another one with the Angels tonight. 4:07 first pitch with Richard Fitz getting the start. Cooper Boardman joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 3:07 for the MassMutual pregame show. Kristaps Porzingis is the next one to be sent packing. He was a part of a 3-team deal, sending Porzingis and a second-round pick to the Hawks, Terrence Mann and Atlanta's number 22 pick to the Nets, and Georges Niang and a second-rounder coming to the Celtics. Tonight is the NBA draft. Cooper Flagg obviously expected to go to Dallas with the first overall pick, while the Celtics have 2 picks in the draft at number 28 and number 32 overall. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families here in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner, upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF.
Have you ever woken up after a long night and you grab something to drink, you're sort of half with it, and it's like orange juice, and you take a big sip and you realize it had vodka in it?
Oh,
that was the worst feeling.
You had vodka on your nightstand?
I mean, my nightstand, I had vodka in my veins. Mm.
He wasn't actually sleeping in a bed. It was actually
at the Wabin tea stop.
That orange juice is top.
That is what's trending. Our leads coming up next.
What a play by the bigs for the Celts. Holiday for Disco. Love that. Defense turns to transition to a transition three.
Derek White out to Holiday for three. Bullseye! A backbreaker.
Holiday, king of the corner, his first 3 points tonight.
Everyone had their hand in this game tonight.
Kill shot.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons on a hot Boston Tuesday afternoon, about a half hour away from our weekly chat with Red Sox manager Alex Cora. No, it's not Wednesday. No, it's not 2:30. It is Tuesday at 5:30 because he's on the West Coast.
Don't you mean our pussyfooting through talking points?
Pillow fight, according to the text line.
Slap and tickle. You guys are in the back pocket of the Red Sox. God damn it.
To be fair, I did just spend a portion of the break posing a way to pussyfoot into a question whether he has final say on the roster and lineup every night.
I know pussyfooting.
Yeah. So, if you stick around for about 27 more minutes, you may hear me ask Alex Cora, Alex, when Mike Vrabel arrived, we wondered who had the final say on the roster with the Patriots, and that's a common question for coaches and GMs in football. Have you ever been asked directly, do you have final say on the nightly lineup?
Oh, what a way to couch it.
Isn't that a good way to pussyfoot into it? Alex, if you're listening, if you don't like that, feel free to text me and I won't ask it. But
call him
around.
Skipper, too. He loves
nope,
that.
Nope, we won't be doing that. I'll leave that to Christian Arkand. He did that the very first time we did an interview with
him. What was his response?
He laughed it off.
I don't like it.
He laughed it off. He handled. Sort of you'll be surprised he handled it well.
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't believe it because it was widely known. I mean, I'm the freaking fill-in guy, weekend guy, whatever, mm-hmm. and I knew the one of the things you don't call Alex Cora Skip. Christian Arkin's like, hey, Skip, how are you? Welcome to WEEI Afternoons. I was like, oh, my God, we're dead. No, he handled it well. He
good
laughed it
him.
Off, moved on. He made a joke of it, I think, at the end.
And then he turned into, so how do you feel about banging on trash cans?
Arkin was just like, right out the gates. We're going to get these out of the way, Alex, if that's okay. We'll move on from here. We'll all laugh about this. Will we be laughing about the trade of Drew Holiday? Is this another Brad Stevens coup to send Drew Holiday back from where he came for Anfernee Simons, a young player with 20-point potential and upside.
Quick question. Do you take the New Bedford Fairhaven swing bridge?
I do sometimes.
Okay, it's stuck due to heat.
Oh, so. It happens all the time. You know what also sticks due to heat?
What's that?
The Paydnarrum Bridge in Dartmouth.
Really?
Just opens, you're sitting there waiting for it, and you're like, this is a long time. And then they start to like tell you, yeah, you should probably turn around
and
go the other way.
It expands and basically just like...
Yeah, they can't close it. Oh, both those bridges are old as crap. Both are like
in the planning stages of replacement with the Army Corps of Engineers and the federal government.
That's it.
Yep. Oh, is that too much grab? Too much grab ass?
No, that was too much watching TV in the middle of the segment.
I can't even see a TV.
But it's relevant to his commute home / certain people that listen to this fine radio program. Side note, by the way, Army Corps.
Side note from the side note.
Army Corps of Engineers. Army Corps of Engineers have said, I think for about 50 years, the Sagamore and the Bourne Bridge are like well past due.
Those I'd much rather take the roads of St. Lucia than those things.
I speed up every time I get on them.
Scary as F.
Yes. Anyway, until Brad Stevens has his first categorical swing and a miss, or just plain whiff.
Swing and a pop-up.
Until such time, I am on Team Brad. As much as I appreciate Drew Holiday.
In Brad, you trust.
In Brad, I trust indeed. I believe his record is almost peerless at this point. The selection of the coach to replace him, wish he could have kept it in his pants. Missoula does have a title, so obviously that guy knew what he was doing as well. The Derek White trade. The draft, they've done a great job. He really has. So if it turns out that the Sanford Simons doesn't get them but 50 cents on the dollar in a trade, is not an integral part of the offense in this transitional year that I'm looking forward to on the Celtics or what have you, then yeah, I'm absolutely team in Brad, I trust.
It seems funny that we are, and I agree with you. I said it earlier, I do it with media members, you do it with anybody in your life. Like, you trust them until they give you reason not to trust them. And
correct.
Brad Stevens has not given us that reason.
Nope.
And it's funny that we got there for a guy, most people thought he was going to be in the job for a year, 2 years. Ah, he's going to Duke. Coach K is going to retire. He's going to Duke. He's going back to college basketball. Yeah. He's never been a front office guy.
He found his calling.
He's really, and I don't know, maybe he'll get burnt out at this and then go back to college coaching or whatever. But for the here and now, he's been as good as Bill Belichick, the guy that, you know, created the Bill We Trust phrase early in the 2000s. Now, it fell apart for him. The bottom fell out for Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how long
Girl in the red pants.
The girl in the red pants was at the bottom somewhere there.
And the greatest football player of all time left.
Yeah, there was a lot that went there, but he started sucking as a GM long before that. There were a lot of swings and misses that Brad Stevens doesn't
thanks
have.
Dominique Easley.
Now, I will say, Brad Stevens only has to make basically like one pick a year and then a trade or whatever. Like Belichick, if you make 5-6 picks every year, a couple free agent signings, there's more opportunities with roster screw-ups. But so that is the benefit of the doubt that I'm giving Brad Stevens.
Sure.
You liked Derek White. Derek White, good. You liked Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday, good. You
liked Porzingis. Well, Porzingis helped me. Oh, actually, we're leaving a huge element out. You moved on from Marcus Smart at the right time.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people would have done that. I actually think he was late to that party. I think a lot of people around here wanted to move on from Marcus Smart sooner because of the leadership evolution, the J team and what they were turning into, and the, you know, him thinking he was really part of a big three that he wasn't really a part of at that point and all of that. So I think he actually took a little longer to move on from Marcus Smart and liked him more than maybe some of us did.
So what do we think the Celtics will do ultimately now? So you acquire two extra second round picks.
Who cares?
Wait, hold on. I'm not done.
That was like my own sound drop. Who cares?
Wait, so you're talking and doing your own drops now?
Yeah, I figured. Some hosts really do that. You know, they run their own board.
Mm, I know.
I could not possibly. I feel like Dan Ball is about to tell me he did that in the Capital Region.
Oh, wow. You can read my mind at this point. Thank you.
My butt got numb in a weird way.
Well, that's fresh from today's program.
Yep.
Anyway, nobody cares if I did that or not before. What I want to know is tomorrow night, they have 28 and 32, right? So, do we expect to trade before tomorrow night? And B, what do they do with the picks they have and or any more they may acquire before the draft tomorrow night?
So, the most important part of that question is trades back before then.
Yeah.
Yes. It just seems like everybody with knowledge is pointing towards Kristaps Porzingis is going to be traded between now and the draft in the next 24 hours.
Could be the
Suns,
could be the
anybody,
Spurs,
Lakers,
could be the Warriors.
Get the Spurs. I know they're looking for a big
because
man to pair.
Because the Wemby Porzingis, for all 13 games that it would be out there, would be spectacular.
Yeah. They're like, Wemby's coming off is he healthy?
A clotting issue, yeah.
Yeah, I know. We've learned that that could be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Christian Barmore just came back,
just
left.
Giant person syndrome.
David Andrews dealt with it. You know, guys have dealt with it. That's just weird to me. Like, to me, Porzingis is a luxury item for a good team, not a complimentary item for a building Spurs team that thinks they might be something special.
Are you still grateful, though, that they moved on from Smart and acquired Porzingis in the process, given what he contributed to the championship team?
He helped you win
a title. It's disappointing that he wasn't healthier during what will likely be his 2 years here. That said, you can't deny he had a great effect on the fan base, the team, and ultimately the title.
And he gave us the greatest moment of this postseason. With the blood in the locker room and coming back and shooting the free throws.
When you saw that, didn't you think, oh, wow, they're putting up a fight against Orlando, who's really kind of taken the physicality to them. I think they can make the championship again.
Yeah, and then I thought that all along.
They crap down their legs against
then
the
they
Knicks.
Nixed it.
Oh, I see what you did there.
See what I did there? Yeah. But my question is more so just basketball-wise, how does Anthony Simons fit in on the Celtics? Like, what is, and we talked to Brian Ferzocco, our resident hoop head, earlier, and he thinks he'll fit in. He understands the trepidation. He said he could be, what did he term him?
2B
on a potentially nightly basis with Derek White.
So if you if Jaylen Brown is going to be your primary offensive asset.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, we're not doing that.
I'm allowed to say that.
No.
That's my opinion.
This is a positive Jaylen Brown show.
No. That's what you say about him.
Yeah.
As the driver of the program, you are allowed to say that.
You're going
to
be the hater?
It makes it dynamic.
That's why he's never been comfortable in this town. People like you.
Mm-hmm.
You people.
He said that as much, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Jaylen Brown is going to be your lead dog.
Like it or not, he's going to be the primary offensive asset. So therefore,
quick question from Andy Hart.
Hi, sir. I didn't know we were taking questions now. Go ahead.
Pay attention to any of these rumblings, rumors that offers are being made, and that
Jaylen Brown as well.
Listening.
Yes.
Do you think that is any chance?
Because as the boys on the Midday Show were discussing as well, and other people have brought up on the socials and reputable news outlets, the Celtics at this point now, given that they have to go through this evolution, cost-cutting, transition, going to be a very different-looking team just next year, let alone in the future, they may not be comfortable with how much money they have to pay Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I heard, he's a good player, but is he a $300 million player? And I know Windhorse.
No.
Yeah, he is.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, sure.
If you want to do the whole, like, compare him to Tom Brady or compare him to a teacher or a police officer,
he's not
worth it. But in the world of the NBA, where they have these rules that if you're an all-star and you're all NBA, you get to do a max contract, and at the time it's a percentage of the cap, that's how it works. It was literally, Craig Breslow could have figured it out because it was just a computer spitting out a number that you pay Jaylen Brown if you want to extend him. So, yes, he's worth it. Also, real quick response, 508. WTF, you say? Brad is better than Bill? Wow, Boston Sports Talk have literally lost their mind. Did I say that?
I don't think I did either.
Can we get the tape where I said Brad better than Bill? Stiz, I know you would have fought me on that if I said Brad was better on Bill.
No, that's not what you said.
Okay. I said his track record right now is better because it's a shorter window and he hasn't had a chance to fail with all of these moves like Bill did over 24
years. 413 texter with some good perspective on Porzingis. Porzingis was kind of just like Sale, did the job when we needed him to, then really couldn't get it done much longer.
Sale was more consistently good.
And how about this? A Mainer, of course this comes from the 207, Jason Tatum and then their first two picks for Cooper Flagg.
Jason Tatum? 28 and 32 for Cooper Flagg?
Yeah.
I'd have to think about
that's it. That's nuts. That's a home. That's a homer text if ever.
I'd have to think about it. No, I like.
Would you?
Do you think Jason Tatum will be as good or better when he returns?
As good.
As good.
Yes.
So he will not lose a step literally or figuratively.
From Thor's home planet. As good. Yes.
Okay.
What about same deal, but you include Jaylen Brown instead of Jason Tatum?
Oh, yeah. Heartbeat.
Do it.
Heartbeat.
Okay.
And
do
I'm the
it.
Biggest Jaylen, I mean,
come on,
you know, there's
it.
Some of these
do
trades
now,
where you just
now.
Have to do it. Like, I think we asked Scal, remember the controversial, was it Scal, would you trade Tatum for Wembanyama, I think? And he's like,
no question, he said.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Like, Jaylen Brown, I love him, mean it, and I think he can lead the Celtics to 50 wins in the playoffs and all that next year. Cooper Flagg is a generational talent. They don't always pan out. There's some risk. Maybe he's not even as good as Jaylen Brown, but his upside is supposed to be better than Jaylen Brown, right? That's inarguable.
Not the same position, but definitely higher.
No, the upside. I'm just saying the overall basketball upside.
Yeah.
And for what he did as a, yes, people, senior in high school, even though he was a freshman at Duke, he was a age-wise, class-wise senior in high school. He reclassified to go to Duke early.
And still did all that.
and still did all that. So to think about where he can go, or even Scal telling us he saw him at 12 years old and was like, that dude's an NBA player. He'll
he
be
said he
NBA.
Was bringing him to like beat college players when right. he was like 15.
So to me, it's not disrespectful. That's one of those where I think if you just got the truth serum, hey, Jaylen Brown, if you were the GM of the Celtics, would you trade Jaylen Brown for Cooper Flagg? I think he'd probably say, yeah. Not to mention, Jaylen Brown coming off knee surgery, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So like there's a little, I don't mm-hmm. think it's a big deal.
Minor but, concern.
But whatever, it's a part of the equation. He's older. He's mm-hmm. more expensive. Mm-hmm. And he's coming off a knee surgery, and there are some now known NBA warts to his game,
mm-hmm.
just like there will be with Cooper Flagg. He's not perfect.
No one's perfect.
In 7, 8, 9 years, if I'm doing radio in Dallas, I am saying, well, Cooper Flagg is great, but this, but that. Like, there's always going to be a but. There's a but with almost everybody. There was a but with Tom Brady until he mm-hmm. kind of shut the butts up with his seventh title and doing it elsewhere and all that. You know what I mean? Like, even the greatest of all time sure. have doubters along the way. There will be about, but that's a...
Who's the Garoppolo they're going to draft to replace Jaylen Brown?
You never know.
Maybe it could be Simons.
I think that would work with him. That's the one
with
thing.
With Jaylen?
If he thinks they brought him in to be a running mate for Tatum and it could push him in a certain yep. direction, maybe that's the positive.
This kid plays well this year. You trade Brown, sign Simons to a cheaper deal. Wham! Cost okay. effective,
that
same
could
number
work.
Of points.
He could, because I do believe he's a guy that has a lot of... internal motivations mm-hmm. or receipts, as they like to say mm-hmm. in the modern social media biz. So, but Jaylen Brown for Cooper Flagg? Yeah, in a heartbeat. And I don't care about 28 and 32. What the hell do I care about 28
well,
and 32
just
for?
Add them in.
Oh, can I get 5 twos back for that?
It's like asking for change when you're trying to tip on a vacation and you forget to and you have to give them the 20. But the bigger question
not,
for me is.
Personal.
It is. And was I premature in my. Declaration for the Celtics. Like, do you think the Celtics are going to look dramatically different in 2 days, 3 days, 5 days than they do right now?
Yes.
Or do we kind of already know what is at least leaving?
We don't fully know, but do I expect them to look, I won't say radically different, but
Porzingis
like,
gone.
Yeah. Somebody's
gone. Hauser
yeah,
gone.
One, if not both, are gone.
And Al Horford not back.
I think he's waiting to see what direction they go. I think he's waiting to see what the moves are.
Because he was working out Dan Ball at the Red Auerbach Center as late as like last week or something.
Yeah, still seeming to stay in fighting shape. And Cornette, by the way, is probably leaving as well. Somebody will pay him for his flashes in
just
the pan.
Because of
another fan favorite.
Because one game.
I wonder why.
One game might make this guy some bank.
It's amazing. It made Walker Buehler a lot of money.
So Cornette gone, Hauser gone, Horford gone, Drew Holiday gone, Porzingis gone. And we have no idea what the return on any of that is other than Anthony Simons.
Right.
And yet I'm sitting here on June 24th, a day before the NBA draft, and I'm like, yeah, they're going to win they're going to be a third, fourth seed, and they're going to win 50
wins,
games.
Eastern Conference Finals.
Is this a little Red Sockian where
I was just thinking that,
a little bit ahead of myself?
Yeah, you may want to back that up.
World Series.
No, but I feel like the Celtics front office has more reason to be hopeful than maybe the hope that we put into the Red Sox front office.
You
what about
do?
The coach?
I don't think that really factors what no matter what the roster looks like.
You don't think the coach factors into what the new look transitional Celtics are going to look like this year who work through, the game's on the line, Jason Tatum's not out there? Like, how do we play things game to game, moment to moment?
Run the same play.
Do it again.
I mean, yeah, I think just, that's going to be that's the narrative. That's,
no
that's
way
what is dictated
almost
regardless of who's on the roster. That would be my answer to that.
Okay.
That's not a good thing. I'm not saying that's a good thing or I like it. I just think that is what it is.
I am embracing the change. I am looking forward to seeing what these new look Celtics look like because maybe it works out and they keep the new look for longer than it's not quite the new look anymore. Or maybe, just maybe, it's just a transition year. It's a bridge year, as they used to like to say at Fenway all the time, and then we'll see.
Celtics have an opportunity to surprise people, to overachieve next year, something they couldn't do this year because it was title or bust, so they inherently just underachieved this year as the defending champs. Next year, there's an opportunity for Brad Stevens, Joe Mazzulla. They can overachieve. We'll see if they can live up to the opportunity, and of course, that includes my guy. Jaylen Brown. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we are mid-season almost with the Boston Red Sox, and they are starting to scuffle again. Their manager seems frustrated, to say the least. He's been ejected from 2 straight games. We are post-Rafi Devers more than a week. Plus, there's a lot going on with your Boston Red Sox. We will talk about all of it next here with the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, on WEEI Afternoons. But for the final time today, with his Red Sox t-shirt that has an upside-down helmet with ice cream in it is Dan Ball.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Sham Sharanya. Yesterday, mission accomplished for the Celtics. They got under the second apron, which tells me two things. Number one, they might be done. Number two, they don't care about winning anything this year. They just care about the stupid second apron. I will get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We'll go on the clock with our off-season plans for the Celtics. We did get some texts here, Keith. It turns out that the text about Jonas
Cespedes,
and the wild boar, not only is a true story, it was texted in by Jacob.
Oh, Jacob in the other room. Cespedes knowledge.
So Jacob sent that in.
The one we just missed, and I was reading through this list off the air, then we also got a separate text about it, was Glenn Allen Hill, who might have the best reaction to a home run in the majors. Like, when he would hit a home run, like, he would, like, swing and then, like, in one motion, like, release the bat. It wasn't necessarily a bat flip. It was just get rid of it.
Hot potato.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very violent swing on Glenn Allen Hill.
Nice.
He apparently had a nightmare about being chased by spiders and crashed through a glass table. And was then placed on the IL.
Which,
yeah.
Really, that is in play for you. If you had a nightmare about snakes.
And I have a small history of sleepwalking as well, so it could happen. And also night terrors.
You guys own a glass table?
No.
That really is more of like an 80s, 90s thing. Like,
no, that's
true. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I have anything
that
like
probably is working against
about.
Glenn Allen Hill.
All the glass tables in his house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Must be nice, Glenn Allen Hill.
My buddy texted me this. This wasn't really an off-the-field injury, but Don Baylor caught the opening pitch from Vlad and snapped his leg. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. The late Don Baylor.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah, that was a tough watch. It was like a ceremonial first pitch, and then he just went over. That was also like, speaking of the late great, when Fab Mello hurt himself walking through a doorway, he hit his head on the doorway.
Big guy.
He's tall. Yeah. He's super tall.
But. Although you think if you're that tall, you would be used to it.
Kind of used to it, sure.
Yeah. But one would think.
That one snuck up on him, I guess.
That's true. Let's go.
Who do you got?
Well, one of these I don't want to take. Let's go. Bob in Londonderry has been waiting for a while. I'm just curious his logic on this. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. I had a question. I'm not sure whether I'm asking when you'd agree or say my assessment's been correct, but back in 19, I had
those would both be agreeing, just FYI.
You those agree or think I'm correct?
Like, wait, what? Yeah, go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I had predicted that all four teams that everyone follows were going to be in for a real bad decline, and I was not sure they would ever, to a degree, get out of it. And I admit I was wrong on the Celtics. Celtics won because it's obvious now. They didn't play anybody. But in the current state that we are at now with all four teams, what are we going to do? All four teams are in real bad shape. And I don't think there's anything coming up in the future to correct these issues. And how bad will this continue to go? Right. Stop short of the Patriots where we're going to see what happens.
Okay, so, right, so first of all, TBD on the Patriots, but so everybody else really sucks.
Just so I'm clear.
Yeah.
Was he bringing up a take of his from 2019 and trying to see if he was right, but also pointing out the fact that since then the Celtics did win a championship?
It seems like a flaw in the ointment.
Currently an incomplete.
That sounds a little bit like the Max Kellerman Cliff thing where you're like, if you just say it. Like, at some point, these teams are going to be bad, right? Like, so you're waiting for 6 years to take the lap?
Let me tell you.
First of all, I think
there was a real a-hole night host who threw an on-air funeral for Boston sports teams when Tom Brady went to the Bucks. I don't want to name any names.
No, thank
but
God.
The guy really was just a really look-at-me, attention-seeking individual. He did a live on-air funeral for all the Boston sports teams when Brady went to Tampa.
So the Celtics did win the title, and they've played in two championships since then, right, since the 2019.
Yeah.
Or even if you want to take it from COVID. I think the Celtics in 2 years will be back. Maybe not to a championship, but like close. They're one of the best teams in the NBA in 2 years.
Well, they don't suck. I mean,
they don't suck right now.
I think they're going to be a playoff team without Tatum this season, so they don't suck.
I think the Patriots make the playoffs, but there's no guarantee. No guarantee.
I think the Patriots make the playoffs.
All right, so there's two of your four teams.
Yeah.
Red Sox are teetering. I'll give Bob that.
But since then, they have made a CS.
They did 2021. They made the ALCS.
2021, they did make a
And the
an
Bruins
ALCS,
blow right now, but the Bruins...
Did he say it after the Bruins
went to the Cup? Because they went to the Cup in 2019. So do you say it before or after that?
I guess it's hard to pin down.
We need a full timeline on his alleged take.
They set the regular season record for points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, like,
it doesn't matter because they lost. But they were good.
The first round. Yeah.
A bad, bad stretch.
Florida, who's won two Cups since,
is like New York, where they have 800 teams and they have like no titles to show for it for so long.
Or like Canada. They only play one sport, but Canada since 93.
Just 0 for 0.
We still got a Curly in Boston. Our pal Tony up there.
Yeah. What are we going to do? Another USA? Stanley Cup is still on American soil.
Yeah. It's summer book now. Keith, maybe we should sit on that till the fall book.
All right.
Let's sit on that if you want to. Yeah. You want to go on the clock with our off-season plans for what's left of the off-season for the Celtics here?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the texter, Fab Melo sadly passed away many years ago. Somebody was wondering because I said rest in peace.
Yes.
Fab Melo. Good segue, Nick. Put me on the clock. 60 seconds. What the Celtics should do the rest of the way. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep the guys that you just brought in. I'm keeping Anthony Simons. I know there's a lot of trade discussion around him and even George Niang. I'm keeping both those guys. They have expiring contracts. I'm keeping them, pairing them up with Jalen Brown and Derek White. Those are going to be the guys that are going to have to lead your team. I'm keeping Peyton Pritchard coming off the bench, see if he can be sixth man of the year twice in a row. You're going to have to trade Sam Hauser to give yourself a little bit more roster flexibility in free agency. So I'm going to trade Sam Hauser and Xavier Tillman, who I don't think is going to crack the rotation. And then I'm going to throw the money I have left at Bobby Portis. He has a player option in Milwaukee.
Ooh.
Hopefully he opts out. It's $13 million player option. I think he opts out. Go after Portis. He can provide rebounding and also still shoot some threes. He's not going to shoot a million of them, but I think Joe Mazzulla will take Bobby Portis. I think Baylor Shireman's going to have to play a little bit more because of the Sam Hauser trade. I'm keeping Nemus Kata as sort of like a depth big. And then tonight, I'll draft Terps guy, Ryan Kalkbrenner.
Yeah.
Kalkbrenner, the 7-foot-1 guy out of Creighton.
The L does a lot of work in that name.
So a little bit more size there. And then that's your squad.
Bobby Portis, I like that a lot. That'd be a good guess.
I've liked Bobby Portis since the draft. Remember we did the draft show.
I was screaming
for Bobby Portis.
I do recall. Yeah, which year was that?
Terry Rozier draft.
Yeah, no, Rozier could play, but
he's all right. I wanted Portis though, but I've always liked him, and I think he would fit this team well. I think he'd be a good big to have.
I had to look up who he punched out. Do you remember who it was? He punched out a teammate when they were in Chicago.
In Chicago, he punched out a teammate.
I thought it was Vucevic. That was obviously wrong. I had to look it up. Nikola Mirotic.
Oh, Mirotic.
Yeah.
Well, he shouldn't have said what he said.
Knocked his lights out.
Yeah, one for Portis.
Suspended for it.
Well, that's all right. You want a guy who's competitive.
Broke his jaw. He was suspended 8 games. But yeah,
so he can punch.
Yeah, he's a competitive guy. Exactly.
Okay. But he'll get you a board. He'll score some. But that's like a starting guy that you could get.
It'd
be an upgrade from Cornette. You know what's also funny about
that'd be a great guy. I didn't because he has a player option.
Yeah.
In my admittedly very quick research. That was not a name that was on my radar, so that's a good name.
You know what's funny? I was reading up on Kalkbrenner, one of the comps, like one of the player comps that jumps out. Luke Kornet.
Really?
Yeah, just swap him out. Swap out Kornet for Kalkbrenner.
Bring in a younger
Kornet. You can get him tonight.
A younger, cheaper Kornet.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Well, that is Keith's off-season plan. You ready for mine? Let's go on the clock. Celtics off-season plan in 60 seconds. In the words of George Costanza, Keith, nothing.
Wow.
I do nothing. The East is wide open. Cleveland, the Knicks, the Magic, the Pacers. Those are all the favorites in the East. They're all flawed. Celtics are arguably better than some of those teams right this second. They should go for it. But how? You see if Jalen's a number one. You try to make a run with Jalen as the lead dog without Tatum. You hang on to your core. That means Derek White. That means Peyton Pritchard. They're not going anywhere. I want him on this year's team with Jalen. And I want him intact for when Tatum comes back a year from now. That's right. I'm not rushing back Jason Tatum on the team this season. I want to find out what they have in Anthony Simons, who they acquired for Drew Holiday. Is he a deadline chip or is he a building block for this team? I want to see it through. Horford, I think, is a goner. He reportedly has a robust market. So I'm going to see if Luke Kornet takes a veteran's minimum. If he doesn't, I like Kayvon Looney in Golden State, championship pedigree, and a guy who I think would fit here. So that, to me, is what I would do. I wouldn't do much. I like the roster as it is. I'm happy they didn't deal off pieces last night.
Yeah, because with all the smoke around the Simons trade or, like, potential, like, just flipping of Anthony Simons, you're like, all right, they save money. And you're like, okay, like, what do they do with it?
Right.
Like, that's a potential 20-point-per-game guy. I don't know if anybody else on the roster besides White and Brown are 20-point-per-game guys.
You know, Pritchard can have 20-point games, but I just don't know if, like, for the whole season you
can be a 20-point-a-game guy.
Yeah, so I think Simon's getting. So if you're just trading him to get, like, a cheaper guy, like, I don't want that.
So I think Looney would take – I was looking at his last few contracts in Golden State. I think you'd get him – he's not like Luke Kornet size or Kalk Brenner size.
No, that guy's a hoss.
But I like Kayvon Looney. He always has played well against the Celtics, including in the NBA Finals a couple of years ago. Portis is a better name, though. And if I had to move out Hauser's deal to get a player like that,
yeah,
I would rather do that. But I'm not doing much if I'm Brad Stevens. I'm afraid they're still going to deal off another big piece and, you know, really shake up what they have.
So we were already going to give the Iowa meat truck that plays for the Fisher Cats. Mm-hmm. He was going to be our hoss of the week.
Yep.
What if the Celtics tonight draft Kalkbrenner?
We may have to shake it up. Yeah.
7-1-257.
I don't want to go co-hosses.
That's not fair to
either one. That's not like the Angels pitcher you thought, who's 6'7", 230. He's slender.
Yeah, true. So,
for 7'1", 250?
Good point. Maybe we just keep it with the ice.
Yeah, the meat wagon's heavier than him.
That's
the foot shorter.
The meat. Yeah, you're right. All right, my bad.
What was his name again? Meat truck. Meat wagon.
The Iowa meat truck. Plays first base. He's not even really that good.
Yeah, for the Fisher guy. Well, it's fine. That's not necessarily criteria for being Hoss of the Week. He's got to be big. Someone is taking you to task. I've never noticed this.
What I do?
Texter says spiders come up in conversation oddly often on this show. It's noticeable because of how Keith pronounces the word spiders.
Spider.
Say it again.
Spider. No, I'm just kidding. I don't say it that way. Spider.
Yeah, I feel like you say spider normally.
Spider. The first one, spiders.
Well, that
spiders.
I heard it that time actually.
There's a spider. Spider. It's deep in my soul.
So. What is that? Is that when they're huffing glue?
That's when Charlie's huffing glue out of the sock. His face is silver.
Nice.
I've seen that man before.
So who is he?
Ezekiel Sims. He was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died.
Is that the Madam Web trailer?
Yeah, it's from Madam Web.
Yeah. It is. Good thing you had that right.
You better believe it.
We also got, we were talking about this one. Nick, did you come in and say this one? Rondo.
Question. Does spider have put?
That was what we were doing. Yahoo question and answers.
Don't get that confused with Sloppy Thomas or whatever his name was.
Sloppy Thurston.
Sorry, Sloppy Thurston.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
Okay. What were you asking, Nick?
Nick, did you come in and ask if Rondo injured himself falling in the shower?
Yeah,
that was you, right?
He went, slipped in the shower?
Yeah, well,
that was how the story went.
That was the claim. And I said to Nick, I'm like, I might have still been working with you at the time at night. And we were getting calls from people. They were like, yeah, I saw the
trampoline park.
At the trampoline park. Literally in one text, somebody said Rondo fell in the shower, but it was really at a trampoline park. We got a text right after Nick came in the room.
Were the mic's on?
Yeah, was it Nick?
I hope not.
Was it Jacob from the other? Jacob's sending in text from the other room. It could have been him. I'll double check the number.
Marcus Smart fought that picture frame.
Oh,
remember?
Good one.
Because he was like, it was definitely because I missed the shot. It had nothing to do with like this Instagram model or something.
No.
Like,
it was not an ass model.
No.
It was absolutely just me being angry at missing, which by the way.
A game winner.
Weird. You missed a game winner. Who could have seen that coming?
they drew up a good shot for him.
617-779-7937. You got plans for the Celtics this offseason. You can weigh in. We'll give you 30 seconds on the clock. And we'll get to what would constitute a successful offseason, or season rather, for the Celtics on the floor next year. We just had a caller say, all the teams are screwed. He told us way back in 2019. Discount the Celtics championship in the meantime. So what would be a successful year for the Celtics? We'll get to it right after Trending with Billy Laney. Brad Stevens last night discussing the targets for the Celtics this offseason. Luke Kornet, Al Horford, doesn't want to pressure him.
Thinking outside the box there.
I don't think they're going to get Horford. If they find a way to bring back Al Horford, then, you know, we can all praise Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Because I thought Horford sounded like a goner in the immediate aftermath of their playoff exit.
It sounded that way, and it also, I forget if it was Shams or someone else, it's like he has a really big market.
Robust market.
Robust, even.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if he has a lot of options, you know, he would probably have to take a little less money here, and they're not a true title contender. Now, they're closer to that than maybe we would have thought the second Tatum went down, looking at, you know, Halliburton going down, the sort of the state of the East. But if he has a year or two left in his career, I could see him wanting to jump on to somebody else that's a lot closer. Yeah.
Me too. And I think Al Horford, for the most part, has been he's been chasing contracts. I mean, he took a little less last year, right? I'm trying to remember. You take a little less after the championship. But for the most part, he's chased a contract. He chased one here in the first place when he came to the Celtics. He chased one to Philly.
Philly, that worked out.
I don't blame him for that, but just look at the guy's track record. I think he's largely gone for the biggest contract. So he'll probably go for the biggest contract. By the way, it's Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We're brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The lobster rolls are back at the Nines. Visit your local 99 today and try their famous colossal lobster rolls, 100% North Atlantic lobster, piled high on grilled brioche, served hot buttered, or with just the right amount of mayo and celery with fries and coleslaw. You gotta love the Nines. I think Horford would be a home run. I'd be fine with Cornette. I don't know that he's an every game starter, but you know he works.
May have to be, depending on how it shakes out. Because you'd rather start Cornette than, you know, Cada or Tillman every night. You know, because those guys are still under contract.
Correct.
So yeah, I'd give me Cornette over those guys.
So your lineup would be what if it's Cornette? It'd
be Cornette. It'd be White, Brown, Simons. There's your three obvious
ones. 1, 2, 3,
ones.
Boom.
And then I guess, you know, is there another free agent outside of Luke Cornette, or is it Cornette and Niang even? Like, if you have to, like right now, that's might be what it is.
I mean, can you start Hauser? Can you start Pritchard? I mean, those are probably the other guys that got
to start Pritchard. Yeah, you could start Hauser, and maybe it's matchup. I mean, if you start Hauser, that's pretty small. It's like one big.
It's very small.
It's very small. Plus, you know, Tatum was a great rebounder. Like, that's another part of this, too. Is like Tatum, you look at him, you're like, oh, he's a small forward, but he was, for many games, their leading rebounder. So you're not only missing 20 shots a game and, you know, 25, 30 points a game, guys grabbing like 8 rebounds a night, too. So whoever else they grab there to play alongside, either Cornette or whoever your bigs end up being, they better grab some rebounds.
So look, they can also flip Hauser and give themselves more money. Right now, they don't have much below the second apron. So you're talking about Cornette or Horford on a real short money contract. If they flip Hauser, I guess they still could, though. Last night felt like the time to do it, right?
Yeah.
Like if I had to guess now, and I would have guessed going into the draft last night he was going to get flipped. If I had to guess now, he's probably on the team. Maybe I have that wrong.
So it feels like, at least for now, although, I mean, the draft's weird. There's another round tonight, right? So I guess there could be more roster movement tonight. And not that you're like, ooh, we want a second-round pick, but just to sort of see what else you can get for him. Maybe get a guy on a rookie deal or something like that. Save a little bit of money because, you know, Hauser's increase goes up this year, right? Last year, he wasn't making $10 million a year. This year, he is making $10 million. So even though you're below the second apron, if you want to get a little bit more under allowing you to sign, I don't know, a power forward or a center or two of those guys, then maybe just because Hauser is a very, I think, effective player and like he has the one skill set that every team would want. So a lot of teams would be interested on it. But on this particular team, they might have that kind of covered. Now, even though he might be better right now than, say, Baylor Shireman is, you at least can duplicate that skill set a little bit. And you have a lot of like perimeter guys.
No, look,
so you might have to move on from Hauser to get a big guy.
I would have to get an additional big guy. And to carve out money to do it, I'd have zero problem with them handing their minutes, the Hauser minutes, to Baylor Sherman. I'd be fine with that. 30th pick a year ago, see what he has. I like what I saw in flashes from him a year ago. I have no idea if he can play or even be Sam Hauser, but I could see it. Sam Hauser was he a second round pick? Was he undrafted? What even was he?
Undrafted. Undrafted. Yeah.
So I mean, let's not pretend like he had a massive pedigree coming in. And that'd be a way to carve out some money. And I want the Celtics to compete, contend next year, however you want to put it. And when I say contend, I mean in the East. I don't think they're true contenders for a championship. I think I know your answer to this, Keith, but what is a successful year for the Celtics this season?
I think getting back to where they were this year, you'd have to view it as a success. I think they kind of, you know, probably have to be a playoff team. I think they should be a playoff team. And then I would say even win a round. Like, you can win a round. Now, depending on who you get matched up with, depending on what your final seeding is, not going to beat them up over it. Like, say you end up drawing the Knicks in the first round this year. Say it's like a 3-6 matchup. And, you know, you lose a series where you don't get swept, but you lose that series. I think that's still a success. You know, just getting back to the playoffs without Tatum. Because, you know, if you're comparing it to other teams and other situations, it's still comical to think Kevin Durant and Devin Booker missed the playoffs. I know that was in the West, but those are two great players on one team that missed the playoffs. So if Jaylen Brown's your best player and Derek White's your second best player, in all likelihood, barring some other like major change, I think that should be a playoff team. So that's a step in the right direction. And then anything after that is probably just sort of like, you know, gravy.
So I thought you were going to say they could go farther than a year ago, but
no, I think they can. But like you asked, what's a success?
That's not your bar for a successful year.
No.
So we have a similar one. making the playoffs is not enough. They should be a playoff team. So, and I'm not saying that's your goal for them. I'm just saying anybody who's like, hey, they made the playoffs, good for them. They're in a play-in game, good for them, well, without Tatum.
Well, because of the format, maybe saying like a top six seed, avoid the play-in.
I think top four.
Oh, okay.
I would like them to be a top four seed next year. I think that's doable. I'd like them to host a round and then advance a round. Now, look, if they are the six seed, but they win a first-round matchup, I'll feel pretty good about that. But what's a successful year? I mean, maybe five or six is still fine. Let me see how it plays out. But in my head, you can win 50-ish games. That's not a ridiculous bar. And you look at some of the teams that did that a year ago. Again, I don't think Indiana has overwhelming talent. I think they're deep. I think they're well-coached. I don't think they have overwhelming talent. I don't think they have any more talent than you do,
Yeah. Even
now without Tatum. And I think they won 50 games last year, right? And they were the four seed.
Yeah.
So that to me is a good, reasonable goal for what would be a successful year. Five or six, fine. I'm not telling you it's a terrible year.
Eastern Conference odds right now for the upcoming season.
The Pacers, by the way, won exactly 50 games last year.
Yeah. The Cavs are the favorite.
Yep.
And then right behind them are the New York Knicks. And then tied for third are the Magic and the Celtics.
Even still after the Porzingis trade.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if they had taken a dip. Yeah.
No, that's still
where
up
is,
there.
Where, just out of curiosity, is Detroit?
Sixth, who I like.
I also
I think
like them.
I could see them jumping up. I think the two trendy picks this year are going to be Pistons and Magic. I don't think the Cavs roster is going to look the same from now to the start of the year. And then the Knicks are still sort of like a little bit of a question mark. And then it's a big drop off. Actually, after the Pistons, it's the Bucks are the seven, and then tied for eighth would be the Pacers and the Hawks.
So I guess I would ask Celtics fans, do you think they can have a winning record next year without Tatum?
I
definitely do. They
a
have
a winning record.
They have an overwhelming winning record without him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they can do that. They won two out of their three games in the playoffs without him. So a winning record last year, Orlando was exactly 500, 41-41. A winning record means you would be a top six seed, as you said, Keith. The Pistons won 44. The Celtics, I think today, have more talent than the Pistons. The Bucks won 48. Giannis is awesome. That's not a good team. That's not a good roster. That's not a good team. They're poorly coached with Doc.
Yeah, no.
They won 48, and they were the five seed last year. So I don't think being a top four seed, winning 50 games with this roster is a stretch at all. I think, to me, that would be a successful year.
And we've seen less talented Celtics teams win more games.
And if you're hosting a round, you should probably win that round. And so, to me, I would be happy with that.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you everything else is a failure. If they're the sixth seed and they win 45 games and they have a tough matchup in round one, that's not a failure. But I also wouldn't call it a success. It would be somewhere in between. We'll make it a success. Mm-hmm. Top four, 50 wins, win a round.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely doable. Like that's right there for them. Now, what they get for the big guys, like that's going to be a question because you are losing a lot with just the guys that you traded away. But again, you're not trading away like a great Drew Holiday or even a great Kristaps Porzingis. You're getting a kind of an older, more broken down Holiday and then a Porzingis that you can't even really count on. Like, I think it still circles back to like Tatum. Like you lost Tatum from this team. Those other two guys are really good, but what were they even going to be in 2026? So I think depending on what pieces they have and keep around them, they could still be there. And if they won 61 games a year ago, and we even thought they could have won more, but let's take it what it was. They won 61 games. If they lose 10 more games, that's 51. I always bring up the Bulls-Jordan-Pippen comparison. So in 94, when Jordan's playing basketball, they actually won more regular season games the next year with Pippen. Like the team was loaded. They were also coming off of a title, and then they removed Jordan. I think they did add Kukoc, so it wasn't like they had nobody else. And they obviously didn't advance as far. They didn't win the whole thing, but it's not like, oh, you took the best player off. The best player ever, by the way, and lose like 20 more games. Like, you still had enough of a championship team there.
Yeah.
And so you were able to have a lot of success.
Looking at it, because text line says, guys, I want whatever you're smoking. Top four pick. How are they doing that? Missing more than 60% of their starting lineup last year. You ready for it? They were counting playoffs, because I can do this easily in my head. They were 10-3 without Tatum last year. They were 31-9 without Porzingis last year. That's just regular season. How many playoff games did he miss? I lost track.
God.
So I'd have to go back and look at
that. He also played like 5 minutes in some of them.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
So look.
Seven!
They were 31-9 without Porzingis. I think they're a little worse off without Holiday and replacing him with Simons, but Simons is still a way better return than I thought they were going to get. And I think that's largely netting out, although maybe a half step back.
Mm-hmm.
But they were beating up on teams missing guys. Jalen missed a ton of time last year. They won games. Mm-hmm. Tatum missed time. They won games. Porzingis missed half the season. They won games. So, yeah, I think this team, that's reasonable. But if you disagree, I get it. You can weigh in, 617-779-7937. I'm also the guy who thinks the Red Sox are better without Rafael Devers.
How's that going?
That's not going so hot, I'll tell you. My guy, Craig Breslow, was on the front office report today.
There he was.
On the Greg Hill Show. He gave some interesting answers, plural. Let's dive into that coming up next.
The Celtics have traded Kristaps Porzingis, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI during They Said It in Seconds. We will go over what Bill Simmons and others have said about that. There has been somewhat of a dramatic turn of events in advance of Roadshow number 7, which is Friday in Gloucester. And the Cold War that has existed between this show and the Greasy Pole Hardos. So we got to get to that maybe after 8:20 or so on today's show.
Greg, I yes. just wanted to let you know. So I played that Nirvana song for a reason.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to my buddy Goo. Sent me a video of Dave Grohl.
Uh-huh.
Talking about how he ripped off a bunch of stuff from the Gap Band for the Nevermind album for Nirvana.
I see.
So again, disco not just influencing today's pop, but also your favorite rock music.
All right, Sean. Okay.
You are obsessed with disco for whatever the reason is.
We know how popular Nirvana is.
Yeah, I appreciate Goo weighing in.
Right, and I love Nirvana.
Shout out to Goo.
Goo is old friend, new friend. How long have you and Goo been tight?
Me and Goo have known each other probably now almost going on a decade, I think. Wow. Pretty close.
Okay. Where does the nickname come from?
I believe it was a name he got in like school, called him the Big Ragu, and just shortened it to Goo.
It must be Italian, huh?
Yes, very Italian. Yes,
you know where the Big Ragu comes from, though?
That comes from Laverne and Shirley.
Yes.
The Carmine Raguzzi.
We are losing listeners.
Yeah.
It's right in their wheelhouse, Laverne and Shirley.
Let's get to They Said It, please.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just gonna say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it on the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They Said It, brought to you by Ketch's Law, and they are honoring those who built this city, those who drive, those who care for others, those who build, those who construct. So please nominate somebody when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. Where would you like to start, Sean?
Well, Greg, now that Kristaps Porzingis has been traded, we've lost both Porzingis and Drew Holiday within the last 48 hours. Bill Simmons talked about that and basically said that this is the funeral for the 2024 Boston Celtics.
We had the Drew Holiday trade last night, and then Kristaps Porzingis sent to Atlanta today. The 2024 Celtics funeral is here. They lopped off miraculously $28 million in two trades. They got under the second apron, which doesn't just save them almost $200 million in luxury tax, but also has all these other positive roster benefits. I'm not sure the Celtics are going to be that bad next year in this weird Eastern Conference. Holiday in the playoffs and in the Knicks series, I thought looked pretty rough. You flip him into Simons, who fills this scoring void that they clearly need with Tatum. You have Pritchard and Simons out there. Those are like two of the better heat check guards in the league. You have Jalen, who's still a top 20 guy. You might have rebounding. You're going to have a good coach. You have this philosophy of just gunning up threes. They're going to be way worse defensively. Porzingis played half the year last year and then was a corpse in the playoffs because he wasn't healthy. The Tatum piece is the piece that's the disaster. But if you talk about the rest of it, like, they might be all right. They might be an overachiever. I don't know. I'm prepared for anything.
Come on, okay. Bill. We don't want them to be an overachiever, though, because then that puts them where? Fifth, sixth in the Eastern Conference? Or maybe fourth? And now when Tatum comes back, Simon is, you got to figure out what you're going to do with him because he's on an expiring contract, right? You want to be able to be bad where you can really, really take advantage of the potential lottery pick that you could get to now make your team really good the year Tatum comes back, rather than be like, okay, and now when Tatum comes back, now you're just like...
I don't think roster-wise that... I mean, I don't know, maybe they are. I don't think they're going to intend to tank, Wiggy. I don't think anybody...
You don't intend, but if your team is not that good, like if you move... And I said Derek White, and Curtis brought up, you win 24 games, 25 games. Look at the Dallas Mavericks. They were able to win the lottery based on a lower percentage. But if you win 25 games, you're like the Sixers.
I also think Brad Stevens needs to keep in mind, like, if you trade everybody, if you get rid of Jaylen Brown, if you get rid of Derek White, if you're looking at more big pieces that you're going to get rid of, are you positive, 100% positive, that Jason Tatum is going to come back from an injury like this just as good as he was before? Mm. No. So,
well, you're not part, but that's what you're banking on. Seen that from guys before who've come back.
I just think that Brad Stevens is a guy who is very smart and somebody who needs to take into account everything that could end up happening.
So that's an argument for doing nothing when it comes to Jaylen Brown.
100%.
Keeping Jaylen Brown here because you don't know how Tatum is going to be post-injury.
Yeah. Well, then if that's the case, you don't know how he's going to be.
Well,
then,
you don't.
But isn't that more of the reason why, all right, you should do something even better? Because then your team's going to be what? Jaylen Brown and a hobbled Tatum?
Yeah, if Tatum's not the same player, you're porked.
Right.
Like, no matter what you do.
So you might as well try to get as much as you can and build an absolute, you know, juggernaut around him when he comes back.
Jaylen Brown wants to be as he's deep down, I guarantee you, if you said, be honest, do you want to be the star of a team? He would say yes. Right?
Of course.
So until he's got that, he will find real or perceived slights in everything the organization does. And I guarantee you, he's not posting on Twitter right now about how pissed he is. It's because he's probably saying, yeah, let me get to a spot. It'll help out both sides.
Yeah, but Curtis, who cares if you think that Jaylen Brown is pissed off the court? He doesn't take it onto the court. Jaylen Brown hasn't been an issue for the Celtics team when it comes to in the locker room or on the court. So it's so frustrating to me that it's over and over again, season after season, where Jaylen Brown is always the center of everybody, and there's so many fans that are saying get rid of him.
Do you think
Brad Stevens is the reason? He is what?
Do you think Brad Stevens is smart?
I just said that like 2 minutes ago.
So then he's the one who's doing this. Don't worry about me or Wiggy or fans.
Blame the organization. The reason why we're sitting here talking about Jaylen Brown potentially getting moved is because the organization...
But Brad Stevens isn't shopping him.
Right.
People are calling him.
Right.
Wait.
According to reports.
Okay, so let's work on this. Let's say that Michael Jordan plays for the Celtics, and it's 1992.
Okay.
All right.
And Shams Charania calls with a payphone and says... hey, Brad, you guys getting a bunch of calls on Michael Jordan? He would laugh and hang up the phone.
Right.
There would be no answer to the call. LeBron James with Cleveland in year three. Like, there are guys that there are calls about. How many stories are there about calls about Tatum the last couple of years?
Yeah, but
zero.
Zero, right?
Zero. I've never even heard a conversation about Tatum being on or teams calling, asking about him.
Why? He's a better player than Jaylen Brown. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, and with the Jaylen Brown situation, this is the team's doing, and they've been doing it since day one. And we all saw Celtic City, and we know that he carries that chip, and he is upset. He was like, how can they boo me when expected me to go number three overall? So
I love landing on good points.
He has to be sitting
there. And he's still here. Those reports come out every year.
There hasn't been a single story on Tatum ever.
Yeah, but he wants out.
Curtis, you're making it seem like Shams' tweets and reports have been like coming from the Celtics. They're saying that other team, it seems to me, like Shams hearing from other teams that are interested in Jaylen Brown.
Right. Yeah. Why doesn't he ever say that other teams are interested in Jason Tatum?
Because Jason Tatum would cost too much.
Or no, maybe because when they ask about Tatum, Brad goes, ha ha, beat it, gone, hangs up. When they ask about Jaylen Brown, Brad goes, all right, well, what are you thinking?
In the Twitch chat, and there's always a lively chat going on adjacent to the show, if you watch it on Twitch, Game Dog says, awful take, Wiggy. You want to blow the whole thing up. Awful take.
All right, well, then guess what? You'll be the fifth seed. You'll get bounced in the first round, and you won't have no real assets as far as when it comes to trade assets. You'll have an expiring contract in Simon, and you know Simon's a good shooter. He don't play defense, but then you're gonna have Tatum and Brown.
And George's Yang.
And Derek
George,
White.
Yeah. Who is an absolute. Yeah. George's Yang is an absolute banger when it comes to the threes. Outside threes, 41%.
Yeah. This is a local guy. We should be supporting him. I'm not going to stand for the George's
no,
Yang.
No, he's right handed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. George's
Slander.
Yang. Well, yeah, he's from your neck of the woods over
there.
Like
Methuen Lawrence
and that
Lawrence
area.
Guy. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with Curtis on this one. And Curtis and I, we go back and forth on a lot of stuff.
Right.
But Curtis was right at the Celtics, like, wrap-up press conference. You're supposed to say, we are building our team around Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum when he gets back from injury.
Full stop.
That's it. But he don't do that. Like, I don't know if we're going to do the Nuggets owner, and they said it, but you wouldn't even utter those words out of your mouth if you didn't think, like, all right, maybe the second apron, like what he said about the Joker. Mm-hmm. Like, there are certain things that with certain guys, and they've been doing this to Jaylen Brown. And I know if I was Jaylen Brown, I would not. I'm tired of playing second
you would
fiddle.
So you think Jaylen Brown wants to be out of here?
I would.
Because
of course.
Every time, every offseason, his name comes up in trade discussions.
Every offseason. And he's always being played as the second fiddle to Jason Tatum.
Well, he is the second fiddle. I mean,
but there are people, but do you think in his mind.
Is there a tie-in to the Gap band and the second fiddle?
No. Okay. But do you think
there
in his.
There is a gap between Tatum and Brown.
Do you think in his mind, after he won the conference MVP and the finals MVP,
that he thought he was?
That no. He thinks he's second
yeah,
fiddle?
Probably not.
Oh, right. Maybe nobody's right. Calling for Jason Tatum.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know. We talk a lot during the season about how elsewhere in the league he's not respected. People don't like him, whether it's Steve Kerr in the Olympic situation. Maybe nobody else is calling about Jason Tatum.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. But we will get to the rest of They Said It next, including a bit of an egregious tab when it came to the amount of money the Panthers spent celebrating the winning of Lord Stanley's Cup. So that is coming up.
Who go? I go. We all go here on WEEI Afternoons. I just learned something. I did
What's
not.
That?
That's pronounced Ugo. H-U-G-O is pronounced Ugo.
Wait, hold on. You had to have known that because back during the dictatorial days of Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, it's not a Hugo.
Nope.
Like, if he was French, it would be Hugo, but if it's Espanol, it's Hugo.
Come on, I know you had a pair of Hugo Boss jeans.
Can you rerun? Let's just start over. We'll drop everything.
I'm sorry. I'll show myself out.
I mean, we have enough dad jokes and bad humor between Fitzy and I, but when you inject yourself into the conversation, I think we go a little bit over the top there. There's a little bit
so
too much.
I'm so proud right now. I can't stay. Hugo Boss.
Oh, my God. Hugo is now a member of the Boston Celtics. And
I'm like the biggest Hugo fan over here, guy.
I'm a big fan of this pick. I was not initially, and then the more I read and the more I saw, because initially, okay, I, like Adam Jones, saw...
By the way, his tweet was just like, that was Adam Jones in his snarky wheelhouse right there. That was Pedro-level fastball.
Across three seasons, Hugo averaged 3.2 points on 41% shooting with 27.1 three-point shooting and 1.6 rebounds. And I was like, wait, we got a backup from a European team who doesn't really do anything statistically. And on the surface, he's an energy guy. And Ted Johnson and I both said while watching the postseason, the Celtics need one of those guys, Josh Hart. I've heard Hugo compared to Josh Hart. I've myself kind of compare him to what Aaron Nesmith became late with the Celtics, and then when he moved on to Indiana. Not the shooting part, but just the energy, pain in the ass, run around crazy. 6'6", also 6'6", but not a Will Campbell 6'6". 6'10 wingspan, athletic.
Ooh. Can upside. He play left tackle?
Probably not. I think he's a little undersized for that. But he'd try, because that's his mentality. He's going to go all in. So, Fitzy, in my world of energy, effort, and attitude, if you're going to take a guy with the 28th pick who only scores 3.2 points per game at a lower level of basketball.
How the hell is a guy who only scores 3.2 points a game, quote, the steal of the draft?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And if I wasn't swaying positive with my analysis on this and sort of leaning into my desire, I also think it marries up with what the Celtics are going to be. Don't you think the Celtics are going to have to be more of a try-hard team next year?
Yeah, this is why I told you 2 days ago, bro, in my three-point stance. Like, I'm looking forward to this team because I have a feeling, like, we should put together a list of adjectives that are all, like, try-hard adjacent. Like, try-hard, scrappy.
Gym hero.
Gritty.
High motor.
Yeah.
White. Just, I mean, what?
Nasty. Buff. Hung.
High motor used to be what they said about, like, you know, undersized slot receivers in the draft. And they're like, I'm like, well, that guy's white, isn't he? I haven't seen him play yet.
Well, I mean, we all understand what you're... You could say it without saying it, but anywho.
Just letting people know.
What we need to do is dip into
it.
our old Foxborough Book of Descriptives, Andy, which we haven't used in ages, although they may come back into play this year with the likes of Travion Henderson and living legend and future Patriots Hall of Famer Efton Chisholm III. But we need to go back into our Patriots Book of Descriptives and now apply them to the Celtics, because I think I'm with you 100% on this. The way the Celtics are going to have to win in 2025/26 until Brad is able to configure a contender, not dismantle a dynasty, but reconfigure a contender minus Jason Tatum, is by playing scrappy, gym hero, nasty, try-hard, gritty basketball.
Especially when you're competing with the Cavs, the Knicks, the Magic. I mean, all of those teams have a layer of scrappiness to them. Now, the Knicks are weird because they kind of have the star in Cat and Jalen Brunson. And Brunson's kind of scrappy, kind of clutch. And then you have the next tier that is definitely scrappy. But I think the Celtics lacked a scrappy player this year. I don't think they really had a, you know, I don't want to go Marcus Smart because that's a whole different thing. But that, you know, energy, their guys off the bench.
Soft?
I won't say soft because I don't think they were soft. It's just not how they were designed. You know what their bench guys were designed to do? Hit threes, right? Like that's if you can hit threes, you can play bench minutes for the Boston Celtics. This is a guy that is not going to hit threes. Someday maybe. I'm guessing they'll ask him to become a better shooter, and I've seen allusions to he's a pretty good free throw shooter, so that should translate. He'll develop into a better three-point shooter over time, blah, blah, blah. Don't know, don't care. For the here and now, for the 2025-2026 Jalen Brown-led Boston Celtics, Hugo Gonzalez is going to ask to be an energy defender, a pain in the ass for other teams, and I like it. I don't love that you're in the position where you're drafting the 28th guy from a bench seat in Europe and immediately he's becoming potentially a rotational player. But, hey, we are where we are and it is what it is. So, Dan Ball.
Some of the words that you guys can mix in if you'd like include aggressive, feisty, militant, contentious, and even pugnacious. If
ooh,
you'd like
pugnacious,
to,
I like.
If you'd like to expand
like
your vocabulary.
That.
We needed a pugnacious person.
WEI Afternoon Thesaurus over here. Check this guy out.
Pugnacious Ugo.
Well, pugnacious really means like loving. That's kind of a stretch. Like that's really like loving to fight. Like if you're the kind of guy
who always
goes in and three pints in, you're starting a Donnybrook. You're kind of pugnacious.
Yeah, feeling or displaying eagerness to fight. That's what I want from my Ugo.
Yeah, I mean it can be basketball fight. He doesn't need to be throwing actual punches. It can be fight on a basketball court in terms of the way he plays.
So
Ugo to the playoffs.
Oh, Ugo, take a break.
617-779-7937.
So, you know, maybe in a perfect world, maybe this guy turns out to be a scrappier version of Gershon Yabusele, who, of course, they drafted, we heard, was going to be like the next energy guy. They got out on too early, and now he's doing a decent job playing in the NBA as well. I will say, though, I was surprised. The Celtics waited to pick 28th overall. The guy that people were saying that they were targeting... Dan Ball, the name of the guard that fell to the Heat at number 20 overall. I forget his name. I thought the Celtics once because they were maybe considering jumping up into the lottery to grab this guy. Once he fell down to the Heat around 20, I thought the Celtics might have tried to find a way to trade up for him. So I was surprised they actually didn't move up and see if they could grab that guard.
I think you're looking for Kasparis Jakučinis, I believe is how you say it. I was reading this.
Andy, if any of your friends have a case of Kasparis Uchinich, you can call your doctor
today. We had Stiz with a case of that during his three-point stance last week, and he scratched that on the air, and it really offended people on Twitch. I already need to get into a fight, not on Twitter. 207. The afternoon show is possibly the dumbest show I've ever heard. Okay.
Fair.
I'm open to that possibility.
Wait, possibly? Yeah. I either want to be the dumbest or not included.
Wait a minute. Fitz, he knew what pugnacious means. Get out of here.
Just because he knew one word, you think he's smart? I heard he got smoked by Ted Johnson in Quiz with Stiz last week. Yeah, wow. By the way,
so did you.
Stick around. By the way, 5:30.
Hey, this here... Conveniently leaving out of the narrative that you, the week prior, turned into nothing more than a burnt shadow on the ground of the game show as well against
it happened.
Ted.
You know, my theory? I think it's being rigged. I think Quiz with Stiz is rigged toward Ted Johnson, the biggest guy on the show,
who Stiz is not only afraid of,
but Stiz, the little Boston superfan, is like, Ted Johnson, you used to play for the Patriots. I'm going to make sure you win against these losers, Fitzy and Hart. It's rigged, you goof. We're getting porked. That's why I'm already expecting to lose today.
Stiz is turning into the Jack Barry of Quiz with Stiz.
But getting back to the afternoon show is possibly the dumbest show I've ever heard. I'm open to that possibility.
Good so far.
The text continues from the 207. He was a backup. Look how many former NBA players he was playing behind. Europe is completely different. Here he has to compete with current NBA players, you boob. What are you talking about?
You see, the crazy thing about the NBA, Andy, is that it's full of
NBA players. Jesus, Jiminy Joseph. And I'm not saying this means he can't play. I do, you know, from what I've read.
No, you're a hater already, you smart ass.
They do tend.
Even the dumbest radio show put all that together.
Yes. They do tend to err on the side of age and experience over there in Europe with some of these teams, and he's 19, and that that's. But I'm just saying, he's now competing with the best basketball players in the world, current NBA players, not fledgling former NBA players. So if you want to take a snarky side, you can question why they drafted a backup in the first round. I'm choosing to take the optimistic side with Hugo Gonzalez. I think his athleticism, his ability to get to the basket, to defend, the energy, I think those are all going to be positives for the 2025 Boston Celtics. And they have made it clear they plan on him playing. He's not going to be one of those, oh, you'll see him in 3 years because he's going to get stashed in Europe. He's going to collect a paycheck and he's going to get some time for the Celtics this year, Fitzy.
Okay, which is great. And Andy, we should have known, because we were all over the Celtics about this. 'Twas not just you and Ted Johnson saying, well, the Celtics seem kind of lethargic, or, wow, how come they don't have like a pain in the ass, fly in the kitchen type of guy that's always agitating the other team? I hated the way the Celtics were playing. I'm not sure if it was exhaustion, fatigue, if they were just stagnant, entitlement, whatever it was. But this tweet last night from our old pal John Corrales told me everything I needed to know about the way that Brad Stevens approached the draft and is going to approach this season, working in tandem with Joe Mazzulla and company. Corrales tweeted out last night, Brad Stevens just talked about how you could feel the Celtics getting stagnant and walking the ball up in the Knicks series. He referenced the Pacers Thunder as he said the team will try to address the team's pace of play. Hi, editorial fan note, someone who has to cover and also watch the team on a regular basis to enjoy them, and also they're part of my job. I couldn't be happier to hear that. Could not be happier.
Yes, Dimbo.
I'm just going to read you a quick stat line. 7.5 points, 4.4 rebounds, and 3.0 assists in 42 ACB games with Real Madrid in 2016-2017. You know who did that? Luka Doncic.
I knew that was coming because Brad brought up Luka last night, and that is... Don't do that, Brad. Brad, don't do that. The poor kid. Hugo barely played, and Hugo just got here, and you're comparing him to Luka Doncic. Like, and I don't think you're actually comparing him, but as soon as you put that name out there, it's like Brian Bayo. Baby Pedro. Like, that was the worst thing that ever happened to Brian Bayo, was people calling him Baby Pedro.
Right. I think he was doing it with goodness in his heart, trying to contextualize the numbers that were out there, the Adam Jones numbers, if you will. But, yeah, that may not be the right name to compare him to.
As soon as you put that out there, and it's tied to him. And like,
he then won the MVP the next year, by the way, so I was kind of cherry-picking a little bit.
He's also on the Boston Sports Bachelor scene. Watch out, Drake May. There may be a new handsomest Boston sports athlete in town.
You got a thing for Hugo?
He's a handsome dude. What? You can't admit that he's a handsome dude?
I haven't really looked that closely to.
You know who he looks like? He looks like the yes. Yeah, it's spitting image of you, just to add a foot three.
Hurtful.
So no, he looks just like the handsome dude who was like the menace to Teen Wolf in Teen Wolf.
I do not have a mind.
Nice contemporary reference.
There is not an image in my
movies
head.
Movies that were made 40 years ago aren't meant to be brought up on the afternoon show.
To be fair, I'm sure many of our listeners were like, Fitzy nailed it there. I loved that movie.
I remember that guy.
Meanwhile, the hosts and the producers are like, no idea what you're talking about. But this was, you have to expect you're picking 28th. We knew. Hell, this draft fell off the map basically after like three names, right? It was Cooper Flagg, who's going to be a superstar in the league. And yes, we wanted him, but you weren't getting him. Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. Like, those were the three big names. And the Ace Bailey one was almost as much negative as it was positive because of his whole thing not working out and canceling workouts. And like, there weren't a lot of, you know, big names to lust after at the 28th pick. I'm just saying, for a Celtics team that is in a weird season, although you're going to get a more fast-paced Celtics team this year for one reason and one reason only. Jason Tatum's not playing. When you guys talk about people walking the ball up the court, who do you think does it more often than anybody else on the Boston Celtics? Jason Tatum. He loves to walk the ball up the court. That's the way he plays. Dribble, 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 shoot, all that heck crap. And Stiz doesn't like it. Stiz gets very upset with that style of play. I think Ted Johnson. But for that reason alone, you're going to look different this year with the Boston Celtics. Now, is Hugo Gonzalez going to really change the tenor of the Celtics? I don't know. That's a lot to ask, even though he is the next Luka Doncic. But yes, Dan Ball.
Baylor Shireman, who was picked 30th overall, played 30 games. So I think if you get anywhere near that, you're happy. He's going to do his damage in Maine.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, Baylor Shireman joined the greatest Celtics team ever constructed.
And did what?
Not much.
Okay, there you go.
No, but that's my point.
He had one big game.
Hugo Gonzalez is joining a torn-down version of the Boston Celtics. Now, that's the next step in this question. You got Hugo last night. Are they still tearing down? Has the tear-down stopped? Can we put away the Jaylen Brown trade rumors and the Derek White trade rumors that Shams and others were trying to... I don't really know what they were trying to do. That's another side topic here for, like, a media critic. Were they hearing these rumors from the other teams, from the Celtics? Were the Celtics trying to drum up these dream packages for Jaylen Brown and Derek White? Like, there's a lot there. Also, is Derek White that good? Did Derek White suddenly become overrated? Like, Jaylen Brown is an all-NBA player. He's supposed to be your second-best player. He's now supposed to be your best player. It's understandable that you would be drumming up or teams would be offering up, you know, crazy packages, as it was reported by Shams. Isn't Derek White still a complimentary player? Like, is Derek White worth a crazy package?
No, not anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So, like, that was weird, too, how those two were kind of lumped together. Celtics have a high asking price looking for crazy packages for Brown and Derek White. And it's like, those two guys aren't the same. You keep lumping those guys together, they're not the same. So I do wonder, Fitzy, are we done? Are we done with the movement, or are we in a pause here for the draft? Are we going to be talking about other players exiting? Al Horford, I know, is one of those because he's a free agent, but I'm talking about, are the trades done? Or
no.
Sam Hauser, is he staying, going?
Yeah, walking? I think Sam Hauser is the name to watch as far as players the Celtics could deal away if they think they're able to get 70-75% of his distance shooting from, we'll say, a Baylor Shireman as well, who they took, obviously, early in the draft last year. And then if they could replicate any defensive efforts that they need, let alone you would get from Hauser, from the likes of an Hugo Gonzalez, and if they're able to re-sign Cornette as well and Shireman, I think that could make him dispensable. Because if you're going to try to be a scrappier team, then you're going to end up wanting to give minutes to Gonzalez. You're going to try to give minutes to the likes of Jordan Walsh as well. Like,
yep.
He's obviously not an offensive threat, but he's a rebounding machine and a defensive presence. So, you know, if that's the attitude and the tenor they're going to take with this year's team, then guys like Hauser could potentially be on the outs. They're only $4.5 million under the salary cap now, and if they want to re-sign Cornette and re-sign Horford and avoid paying $200 million in luxury tax, a guy like Hauser could be on the block.
And you know who fits in my opinion, to the scrappy nature, maybe a little more defense being played, maybe a little lower scoring, maybe you're not going to get those 75-point first halves where you go, whatever, 20 of 30 from three-point land?
Who's that?
Your best player. Hasn't Jaylen Brown made it clear over the years that he'd like to play defense? He likes to be scrappy. He doesn't mind shooting mid-range jumpers. He doesn't mind playing the game the way some of these other Magic-like teams play. I think Jaylen Brown, I think you're going to see, even though we were questioning the Anfernee Simons trade, like, oh, they added another guy jacking up threes, same old Celtics. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure they're going to be the same old Celtics. I do think there's a chance they're going to run a little bit more. I do think there's a chance they want to play defense a little bit more with Jaylen Brown and some of these scrappy guys like you talked about, Walsh, Hugo Gonzalez that they bring in. I think those of us that have been bitching and bemoaning the three-pointers and the slow mm-hmm. style of play might get an injection of what we want. Now, the problem is we also might get more losses. And if we tie those together, oh, great, they're shooting less threes, but they're also scoring less points and losing more games and in the middle of a dogfight in the conference. It'll be a careful what you wish for situation. But I do think the Celtics may go back to Brad Stevens' early year Celtics, the try-hard Celtics. And remember, yeah. He's still Brad Stevens who built Butler, right? Like, he built a program from nowhere. And what is their mascot? A bulldog. And I still think, even though we put three-pointers on Brad Stevens, don't you think he still kind of likes that questionable team, underdog, scrappy, high-energy, try-hard style?
So who's the Gordon Hayward going to be?
I don't know yet.
Who's going to be the lead bulldog, if you will, on this team?
Jaylen Brown. It might be Jaylen Brown. He's a bulldog.
You asked yesterday and the day before, are the Celtics a better team now? To which we all have to say, well, on paper, no, but Brad's not done. Is there a chance, though? I'd like to counter with, is there a chance these Celtics, given the style of play we see potentially evolving, they might be a more likable team?
Yes, although they could also be less likable because I think...
they might suck.
Well, not only could you suck, there's the style could be more likable. The personalities may be less likable. I think Porzingis was one of the most beloved Celtics over the last couple of years. He had a weird relationship with the fan base.
How can you not love a giant softy with creative language like that?
And Drew Holiday is like Saint Drew. Like, he was doing everything perfect on the court, off the court. So
he's a legend.
Trading those two guys makes you, on the surface, less likable. But yes, I do think in Boston, where we tend to like the Trot Nixons, the Dustin Pedroias, the Dirt Dogs, the Scrappy, could this team be more likable? Could they play that style that's more likable? Absolutely. 617-779-7937. 86% was Brad Stevens' approval rating yesterday before the draft. Do you still feel that way after the 28th pick, Hugo Gonzalez, the three-point averaging backup from Europe? Or is he the high-energy guy that's a symbol of the new Celtics basketball in 2025? Take your calls on the Celtics. Also need to turn the page to the Boston Red Sox, who got swept in Anaheim. I had a happy boating day yesterday after the abbreviated WEEI afternoons. Not a happy flight day for the Boston Red Sox. They lose again, and some of the characteristics we've seen all season in losses were a problem, and the manager is lamenting some of those characteristics. Red Sox lose, get swept in Anaheim. We'll touch on that.
Oh, no!
We suck again is indeed. Before we talk about sucking again, we have Dan Ball, who does not suck, and he will have what's trending now.